You are listening to another Screenfish One-on-One, this time live with writer-director Nick Scone. Nick's latest film is called Pretty Bad Actress and tells the story of Gloria Green, a former child star who's struggling to move past her childhood fame. In this one-on-one, we get to speak to Nick about what it takes to make a great satire, why we're obsessed with celebrity culture, and the difference between writing and directing. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Screenfish. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking the time to learn about the movie and to interview me.
Where did you get the idea for the film, and what was it like writing that?
Well, it's funny, you know, movies often come from like a bunch of different things all colliding, and so for me it was, I caught this CNN interview where Larry King was interviewing Teresa Saldana, this actress, and was talking about this horrible attack that she had, you know, miraculously survived, and you know, he's kind of asking her, like, you know, what happened? Was it really that bad? And then he's like, oh, actually, why don't we watch a clip from the movie? And then they cut to this clip from the film of her playing herself getting attacked. And then, like, when they get back, Larry was like, okay, why did you do this? And she had a great answer, which was she wanted to raise awareness for stalking victims, all these things. And I was just thinking, you know, in my head, in that brief pause of, like, why did you do that? Just this whole thing flashed in my mind of how people will try and, these terrible things will happen, and one of the ways people will process them sometimes is, well, how can I turn this negative into a positive? And I don't, and for some reason, Hollywood is the type of place where I feel like that happens more often or not, where sometimes now where celebrities, whoever do, you know, whatever, Kanye does some crazy thing, and people are like, oh, is this just a publicity stunt? Like, we don't know anymore what is someone, you know, someone actually suffering, or what is someone using for publicity? And so the idea kind of grew from there, and you know, like anything, it takes, you know, a long time to write. Did a lot of research on child actresses, and then, you know, reading the scripts and watching the films that I love that felt similar to it, you know, black comedies like The King of Comedy or Network, The Player, you know, movies about Hollywood, and you know, the several years of kind of rewriting and trying to make it better, and, you know, I think I changed locations and the sex of the leads, and just, you change everything just trying to find the right chemistry that finally makes the script work.
Yeah, there certainly is a satire within the film, looking at Hollywood and celebrity. I was wondering, first of all, what do you think goes into a great satire?
That's a good question. You know, I think the more I really love satires, and so going back to stuff like A Face in the Crowd, I think it's the idea that, or even Dr. Strangelove, like even the darkest and most classic satires, I think there's this element of it's taking something dark and that we wouldn't normally discuss openly, but because it's a, you know, it's like quote unquote a comedy, it's a satire, it allows us to laugh at these things that we don't want to talk about or face. And so I feel like that's the greatest thing about satires. It's like it's giving you this medicine of a topic that maybe you wouldn't want to have a serious discussion about, but because there's laughs in there and you take the idea to this far extreme, it allows a dialogue to open up that maybe like an audience member wouldn't be more receptive to. And I think that's kind of the trick, is you get people laughing, and you can try and sneak some ideas past the goalie while they're distracted.
You mentioned a few films that influenced you. Are there any other ones that really caught your attention as you were writing and preparing this one?
Yeah, I mean, it was like one of those things where, like, you know, almost to that. That's one thing about writing is like you can get in a research phase where you're like, oh, I'm just gonna watch every film ever that is, you know, related to this topic at all, you know. But yeah, like I said, definitely the King of Comedy and The Player and Swimming with Sharks was a big one, yeah. You know. It's funny. I don't know what it says about me that I saw Swimming with Sharks, and I was like, I still wanted to get involved in films. I feel like that's a good thing. It's like anyone, you're like, do you want to work in movies? Like, watch Swimming with Sharks. If you still want to do it, then it probably is a passion that you should follow. But like, you know, it can be. Yeah, it's a great movie, and then I think it has a great thing at its core, which is, you know, the question that the boss keeps asking Frank Whaley's character is, you know, what is it you really want?
Yeah.
And the whole movie is forcing him to make a choice, and you know, that was a big one too, was Swimming with Sharks. But the number of, I mean, I think, I don't know if there's a Hollywood satire I haven't seen at this point. so I think they all kind of filter in different ways. You know, and then
of course,
even just and stuff that's not necessarily comedies, but just like, you know, the Silence of the Lambs, there's definitely some allusions to in there, you know, visually and other choices, just because of the kidnapping aspect of Silence of the Lambs and me just being a huge fan of that film.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the film, you know, is a satire. We talk about being a satire and looks at celebrity culture. I was wondering why you think we're so fascinated with celebrity culture. Like, you know, the whole film, they're just asking Gloria to do the bit, sing the song, be this person.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting phenomenon where, and you'll hear actors talk about this sometimes, which is that people will approach them not understanding that they aren't this character that they see on their favorite show or on their movie.
Mm.
You know, where it's like we have this intimate relationship with someone who we see in our living room, or even now it's like they're in our pocket. We can pull them out of our pocket and we can watch them while we're waiting at the office, at dentist's office, or we're on the subway, or wherever, and it feels like you have this bond with someone because they're such a big part of your everyday life, and that even I've had a moment where, you know, you see somebody, a celebrity or a chef or somebody who, you know, is an influence on you, or you feel is like a huge part of why you did something or why you pursued a goal or went to study this in school, and all of a sudden you see them and you want to interact with them, but you realize, like, you know, hopefully, like 5 seconds in, oh, this person has no idea who I am. Like, they've never met me. It's just been this one-way communication, but we don't, you know, I think a lot of people don't want that illusion broken. They want to keep that relationship that they've, you know, subconsciously created and, you know, going in some ways. And, I think, you know, the media and other things have found a way to monetize those relationships and those interactions with people that people want to have. And so they kind of amp it up even more. And so, yeah, like things like Twitter or Instagram, it makes you, even if you, it helps, it's like the next level beyond just watching the show or the movie. It's now you feel like, oh, I'm seeing them at home with their dog, or I'm seeing what they're having for breakfast, and it makes that bond even stronger, you know?
Yeah, especially now we seem to have all access into their lives. We get these visual images constantly.
And it's so different from, you know, what, just the old days where it was just you didn't want to know who the real actor was because you wanted to enjoy the role they were playing.
Right.
And now it seems like we don't, but the role they're playing is less important than who they actually are. We just want to kind of dig into everyone and find out who are they really, you know?
Yeah. One of the things I really liked about the film was by putting Donnie and Gloria, you know, in the same room, Gloria is sort of facing off with her past at the same time. She's even dressed as somewhat dressed as Gloria's childhood character in some ways.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Do you think that we struggle to own our past? How do we do that and move on like Gloria is trying to do?
Well, I think, you know, maybe it's you know, whatever, a personal struggle for me, but I feel like it's a universal struggle for a lot of people is, you know, finally dealing with the past or the thing, you know, we think we have moved past something and put it all behind us, but then when we have to confront it, we go, oh no, I still haven't dealt with that issue. And yeah, and so I really did. Yeah, I mean, that's very astute of you to pick up, which is that Donnie is the embodiment of this thing that Gloria has tried to distance herself from and wants to say, no, that's no longer a part of me. And Donnie is there to be like, no, like, this is who you were, and you wouldn't be where you are if you hadn't done this, and maybe that's not such a bad thing. Yeah. You know, and I think that's kind of what I hope is that, yeah, you go through these things, and you're like, oh, I'm done with that, but, like, it's probably better to be like, just accept, oh, no, that's a part of me, and it's more of accepting who you are and your presence, you know, and how... not trying to run from your past, but just sort of accept it, you know. It's hopefully something that the audience catches on like you did.
Yeah, yeah. Just wondering, you know, a personal note, you wrote and directed this, so is there a side of that that you prefer?
That is a good question. Writing is in some ways the most fun part, because the cost of changing anything is so minimal. It's just your time. You know, it's just rewriting a sentence, and all of a sudden you've taken it's like interior, you know, room day, and then you just put exterior mountaintop day, and that's all it takes to suddenly change, you know, your script. And so there's a freedom and fun in that of there's no possibilities taken off the table. Whereas directing, you know, it's mostly how can I make this as good as possible given the limitations of what I have right now, and that can be challenging, but it's also kind of creatively and intellectually stimulating to think like, okay, you know, Julian Bell doesn't know how to drive a stick shift. Our car is a stick shift. How are we going to get this driving scene? And you're like, all right, well, if we park at the top of this hill, and then we'll just have her roll it down so she can just press the brakes, you know, like you find the solution. You know, that's the fun is that. And so, you know, they both have their plus minuses, but in some ways that's why I think even kind of everyone, actors and writers, all kind of end of the day want to direct, is because it really is an intellectual and creative challenge of like, how can I make this still work?
Yeah. And please tell me that story is true, because that's amazing.
That story is true. Yeah, with her car in the movie is my old car. And, you know, it's one of those things where you get to the day of, and she's like, oh, she, like, sits in the car. She's like, oh, this is a manual? And she's like, yeah. She's like, I don't know how to drive this stick. Like, well, all right. Let's maybe push this scene back a little while we figure out how we're going to do this, you know. That's the fun of it.
That's amazing. That is fun. Nick, thank you so much for talking with me. I really appreciate it, and I really appreciate the thought and your thoughtfulness and your answers. This is great. Now, Pretty Bad Actress is available on demand on the 10th, is that right?
Yes, yeah, it'll be on iTunes and Amazon and all the big spots most people go for. It'll be available on the 10th.
Fantastic. Okay. Thanks so much, Nick. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to watch it and picking up what I was throwing down in the movie.
That was great. Thanks so much, man.